Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for Pesach programming, the Haggadah Roundtable, on Monday night, April 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern, with Slavi Youngrice-Wolf, Tal Atia, Chanam Ira Katz, and Racheli Taubis. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Pesach24. And Mazel Tov on the completion of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Join us at the Siyum with Mrs. Leah Feinberg at 12 noon Eastern, Tuesday, April 16th. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Siyum. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. In yesterday's short chapter, we learned that the trust between Achish and David remained intact while David and his men were sent home from the impending battle between Israel and the Plishtim due to the suspicions of the other Plishti leaders. Our perek today opens with David's return to Tziklag after 3 days of traveling, which again emphasizes the extent of the territory into which the Plishtim had penetrated under Shaul's distracted leadership. Upon David's return to Tziklag, he was confronted by a catastrophic scene, which unfortunately we today can imagine only too well. While he was gone, the Amalekites had spread throughout the south and had ransacked Tziklag and burnt the city to the ground. They had taken the women and children captive, but had not killed a single one, rather led them away. Devastating as this scene was, Malbim points out that it was a clear function of Hashgachat Hashem, of divine providence. First of all, in that not a single soul was killed, and secondly, the devastation provided an excuse for David not coming to the aid of his brethren in their battle against the Plishtim. True, the Plishtim had dismissed him from their service, but on the other side of the fence, the Jewish people must have been wondering if he would act on their behalf. How loyal had he become to Achish, king of Gath? Was his loyalty really just a ploy, or had it evolved into something deeper? Had David not had good reason to be absent from the battlefield, such suspicions would certainly have emerged, which would have endangered his position as the future king. Some may be wondering, who are these Amalekites who attacked Tziklag? Although Shaul had not completely eradicated Amalek as he had been commanded, he only left the king, Agag, alive, along with the choice sheep and cattle. Hadn't he killed all the men? Even if Agag had consorted with a woman the night he was held captive, that liaison could hardly have yielded enough grown men to ransack an entire city at this point. Mishpitzot Zahav offers a suggestion that may seem somewhat fantastical to our ears, although perhaps less so after we encountered the sorceress of Endor. He explains that there were sorcerers among the Amalekites who were able to transform themselves into animals and were among those left alive by Shaul. And at an opportune moment, they transformed themselves back into men and escaped. This also helps explain why Hashem was so adamant that even the animals of the Amalekites had to be killed. Alternatively, Da'at Sofrim suggests that there were Amalekites in outlying cities who had not gone out to war against Shaul, and these were those survivors. That explanation, while more acceptable to modern ears, still leaves some unresolved questions regarding the text, which states that all the Amalekite, that Shaul killed all of the men of Amalek. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Vayavo David va'anashav el ha'ir, v'hinei srufa ba'ish, u'nishehem uvnehem uvnotehem nishbu. David and his men entered the city, and behold, it was burnt by fire, and their wives, sons, and daughters had been taken captive. Vayisa David v'ha'am asher ito et kolam, vayivku, ad asher ein bahem koach livkot. David and the entire assembly that was with him raised their voices and cried until they had no strength to cry anymore. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, had been taken captive. And David was greatly grieved, for the people spoke of stoning him, for they were bitter of spirit, each over his children. And David strengthened himself through his faith in Hashem. Note that the mention of David's wives comes after his initial bout of crying. His grief is for the community first, and then for his own personal situation. His men are described as mara nefesh, bitter of spirit, which Radak points out is in the past tense. It's their personality trait. It's how they're described when we initially meet them. They revert to type here. When confronted with disaster, they cast about to place blame rather than take positive action. The initial grief is appropriate, the first reaction, the tears, the crying. But when they're spent, what comes next? Their first instinct is to blame David, either for having brought them to this place to begin with, or for having left to go to war without leaving any men to guard the city. David, in contrast, places his faith in Hashem and seeks positive recourse. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayomer David el Eviatar HaKohen ben Achimelech, Hagisha na li et ha'ifod, Vayagesh Eviatar et ha'ifod el David. David said to Eviatar, the Kohen, son of Achimelech, bring me the ephod. And Eviatar brought the ephod before David. Vayish'al David Bashem, Lemor, Erdof acharei hagdud haze, ha'asigenu, Vayomer lo redof, ki haseg tasig v'hatzel tatzil. In verse 8, David asked Hashem, I shall pursue this band. Will I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue. Malbim points out that David did not question whether to go. He expressed his intention to pursue the Amalekim no matter what. He only asked whether or not his pursuit would be successful. Hashem answered that his act of pursuit would not be for naught, and he is therefore required to pursue, since it means the salvation of the women and children who had been taken captive. Alternatively, Mishbitzot Zahav cites the Gemara in Yerushalmi, which teaches that by asking whether he would reach them, David was also implicitly asking whether or not to pursue, and that in the merit of David's request for mercy, he received a threefold answer to his twofold question. Haseg Tasig, by miraculous intervention, you will overtake them. Vehatzel tatzil, and not only will you rescue the people, you will also retrieve all the stolen property. David set out with his 600 men, and they came to Nachal Besor. Vehanotarim amdu. The remainder stayed behind, and David progressed with 400 men, while 200 men who were too exhausted to cross the Nachal remained behind with the belongings. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayimtzu'u ish mitzri basadeh, Vayikhu oto el David, Vayitnu lo lechem, Vayochal, Vayashkuhu mayim. In fulfillment of the promised miraculous intervention, which we just alluded to, they found an Egyptian man wandering in the field and took him to David, and they gave him bread to eat and water to drink. They gave him pressed figs and raisins, and he ate and was refreshed, for he had not eaten nor drunk for 3 days and nights. Vayomer lo David, Lemi ata, Ve'emi ze ata. And David said to him, to whom do you belong? Where are you from? Vayomer, Na'ar Mitzri anochi, Eved li'isha maleki, Vayazveni adoni ki chaliti hayom shlosha. And he answered, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite man. My master abandoned me because I became sick 3 days ago. The contrast that we see here between the behavior of David and his men and the behavior of the Amaleki is very clear. David revives a stranger, while the Amaleki carelessly casts off the weak dependent. In the merit of his kindness, David learns of the whereabouts of the men he seeks as the youth continues his story. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Anachnu pashatnu negev hakreti ve'al asher liyuda, Ve'al Negev Kalev, ve'et Siklag, Sarafnu Ba'esh. We raided the south, the territory of the Kreti and the territory of Yehuda and the south of Kalev, and we burned down Siklag with fire. David asked, will you lead me to that band? And the youth responded, swear to me by God that you will not kill me, nor hand me over to my master, and I will lead you to them. So he led them, and behold, they were spread out across the face of the land, eating and drinking and celebrating with all the spoils they had taken from the land of the Plishtim and from Yehuda. And David struck them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not one escaped, except for 400 young men who rode camels who fled. And the fact that 400 men are mentioned as this small exception just gives us some inkling of the numbers of the Amaleki that David did kill. And David rescued all that Amalek had taken, including his own two wives. No one was missing, from the youngest to the oldest, sons and daughters, along with the spoils and everything they had looted for themselves. Everything was returned by David. So may Hashem quickly return our captives today, bri'im u'shleimim l'mishpachotehem, healthy and whole to their families. And David took the sheep and cattle of the Amaleki and led it before the other livestock. And they declared, Ze shlal David, these are David's spoils. And they arrived at the spot where the 200 men, who had been too exhausted to continue, were waiting, where they had been left, at Nachal Besor. These men came out to greet David and the men who were with them. David approached and asked after their welfare. And then every mean-spirited and depraved man of the men who had accompanied David said, Well, since they did not come with us, we shall not give them any of the spoils we rescued, except to return to each his own wife and children. Let them lead them away and be off. But David said, You shall not do so, my brothers. That which Hashem has given us and preserved us and gave us the band who attacked us into our hands, who would listen to you in such a matter? The share of those who remained behind with the baggage shall be divided equally among them and among those who went out to battle. And from that day onward, this remains the law in Israel. Malbim comments that David responded to his men, Bechochma uveyosher uveanvat tzedek, wisely, honestly, and with righteous humility, speaking to them softly but firmly, acknowledging that possessions, their survival, and their victory over the enemy are all due to Hashem, not to human effort, and therefore belong to the entire community. He even suggests, Malbim, that those who remained behind possessed greater faith than those who joined David in pursuit of the enemy, which resonates so profoundly today as we contemplate the tremendous faith of the people who remain at home while their family members and members of their communities go out to fight. The reward belongs to all equally. David returned to Ziklag and sent gifts from the spoils to his peers in Yehuda, saying, Here is a gift for you from the spoils of the enemies of Hashem. He sent to those in Beit El, in Ramot HaNegev and Yatir, to those of Aroer, Sifmot and Eshtemoa, and to those in Rachal, the cities of the Yerachmeeli and the cities of the Keni, to those in Chorma, Bechor Ashan and Atach, to those in Hebron, and in all the places where David had been with his men. According to Malbim, David sent gifts to these places in compensation for what had been stolen from them by the marauders, accompanied by his blessing. Other commentators, such as Ralbag, maintain that this was purely an act of generosity on David's part and a desire to publicize the miraculous intervention of Hashem. May we merit to see such intervention in our own times. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui nishmot imhotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, alea shalom, and Sarah Schenker, alea shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.